after the sermon about that, but we just need to pray for God's wisdom. Team One had a crazy journey into Iraq from Turkey by land, multiple hours, multiple checkpoints, and just this week we've been discerning if it's going to be safe and wise to send Team Two, and we're still kind of in the midst of that discerning process. So please pray for us, but I'm going to pray for us right now. So let's join our hearts together in prayer. Father, we just thank you for gathering us together this morning. And you're so faithful and you're loving. Thanks for the testimonies this morning. You're so good. You answer prayers and you are faithful to us. And we are your kids. And so we just submit ourselves this morning before you. We're your kids and we want to hear from you. We need to hear from you. And we just pray for your Holy Spirit to minister to us powerfully this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. All right, so one little thing is that Pastor Evangeline will be preaching for the first time today, a portion of the sermon, right? So about two-thirds through, she'll come up. My back was really hurting yesterday, and I was asking her if she could preach the whole thing, but she didn't feel so comfortable with that. So she'll preach about two-thirds through. I think she has a really good word for us this morning. So I am excited about today's sermon for multiple reasons. One is that she'll be preaching for the first time. And one also is that I get to show you my favorite movie clip from my favorite movie, Shawshank Redemption. How many of you guys know that movie, Shawshank Redemption? So I want to show you this clip because I would say Shawshank Redemption is the second best prison escape story of a wrongfully imprisoned person. Second best. We will look at the first best story of a prison escape story in the Bible in Acts chapter 16. So you could turn there, Acts chapter 16, 16 to 36. We'll read that later. The title of today's message is Break Every Chain. Break Every Chain, all right? So I want to start out by showing you this four-minute clip of Shawshank Redemption. Notice how Andy Dufresne, in this story, how he gets set free of his chains, how he escapes prison. And then we're going to look at Acts chapter 16 and see how Paul and Silas, how they escape prison. All right, so take a look at this video, Shawshank Redemption, 4-minute clip. Let's take a look.
In 1966, Andy Dufresne escaped from Shawshank Prison. All they found of him was a muddy set of prison clothes, a bar of soap, and an old rock hammer. Near worn down to the nub. I remember thinking it would take a man 600 years to tunnel through the wall with it. Old Andy did it in less than 20. Oh, Andy loved geology. I imagine it appealed to his meticulous nature. An ice age here, million years of mountain building there. Geology is the study of pressure and time. That's all it takes, really. Pressure and time. Turns out, Andy's favorite hobby was toting his wall out into the exercise yard, a handful at a time. I guess after Tommy was killed, Andy decided he'd been here just about long enough.
Lickety-split. Want to get home?
I'm just about finished, sir.
Randy crawl to freedom through 500 yards of smelling foulness I can't even imagine? Or maybe I just don't want to. 500 yards. That's the length of 5 football fields. Just shy of half a mile.
So that is the way Andy Dufresne did it, and I'm going to reference a bit of that video along the way in this sermon. But let's take a look at how Paul and Silas did it, and I'm going to parallel it to this video clip. All right, so Acts chapter 16, 16 to 36, it's a longer passage, so we're going to read it interactively. Tara is going to help us to read. Christina is going to help us to read. Come on up, guys, and we're going to read it interactively this morning. So these two sections of the room, can you follow Tara when she reads the odd number slides, all right, and then everyone else, so that section, back section, that section, follow Christina when she reads, all right, so you guys are going to start out these two sections following Tara on the first slide, all right, so.
Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future.
You guys can read out loud with her.
She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved."
Okay, all other sections, follow Christina.
She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities.
These two sections.
They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods.
After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks.
About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped.
But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household."
Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household.
When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace."
Okay, thank you, guys. Have you ever been annoyed at someone? And what did you do in response to being annoyed at them? Maybe you kind of pulled them aside, had a little conversation with them to see if you could enlighten them a little bit, or maybe you just had to bear with it and forbear and wasn't an opportunity to say anything. Paul and Silas, in the beginning of this passage, were annoyed. And they got so annoyed that this is the way that they responded, verse 18. So let's read this out loud together, the part that's in yellow. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. Paul was ministering in such anointing that he became so annoyed that he just cast out the annoying spirit. And that's the way that he dealt with it. So you could try that next time. I would suggest doing it under your breath. That'd probably be more socially acceptable. But this is the way that Paul did it. He was ministering in such anointing. You know, and I wanted to say that, you know, as we continue to set out to do God's will, to build his kingdom, that there is this kind of warfare that's against us. Right? And that God calls us to be ones that stand up boldly, even casting out the evil spirits in Jesus' name. That we cast out the kingdom of darkness, we bring in the kingdom of light. That's our calling as Christians. This is God's portion for us. But as we're talking about last week, that as we set out to advance God's kingdom, there's people, even people on this earth, certainly the rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world and the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realms, that are not happy about that. And that was the situation with Paul and Silas, because as they were driving out this evil spirit was making that town a lot of money, because that evil spirit was a fortune-telling spirit. And so the owners of this slave girl were making money off of this. And so when Paul and Silas did this and kicked out the kingdom of darkness, brought in the kingdom of light, they weren't happy. And they were so unhappy that they responded like this, verses 22 to 24. This is the response of the town. Let's read it out loud together again. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. This was maximum security prison at its worst, right? They were severely flogged. They were beaten. It says that they were under the guard of the jailer who was watching them carefully. It said their feet were fastened in the stocks. They were chained. I felt like that this is a good word for our church. I've been bringing it to the forefront of our church in the midst of all the great and awesome Holy Spirit things that God's doing and orchestrated in our lives and in our church community, that there was a word that was shared from a respected source, trusted friend of our church, about how the enemy wants to chain up Holy Spirit in our church. Chain up Holy Spirit much like this. Feet chained, hands chained, mouth chained. In the midst of us wanting to go to Iraq, I feel like that's what happened even recently with us, right? In the situation of us needing to discern it, even up to this, like we're almost about to leave and the enemy's throwing out all of these different things, light up Walnut, getting hundreds of people onto the church property. We have an opportunity to do pre-evangelism and evangelism, pray for people. Things like the School of Ministry, which train up some people for the kingdom and release them into ministry. Things like the sanctuary expansion, that we could seat more people in the sanctuary and minister to more people. The enemy's not happy with those things. The enemy wants to chain up Holy Spirit in our midst. And we need to respond the way that Paul and Silas responded. Here's how Paul and Silas responded. Can we read 25 and 26? Let's read it out loud together again. This is a response of Paul and Silas. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Paul and Silas' response to this, all of the things that the enemy was throwing against them, they were trying to advance the kingdom of God, much like us. And when the enemy came against them, their response was to worship, to be set free of the chains. And I think it's really important for me to point out that when they worshiped, it wasn't just their chains that came down. Right? It says that they were the ones that were worshiping, and the other people were listening, but it says that all the doors flew open. Everyone's chains came off. A lot of times this didn't happen in our lives where we feel like there's a saying that we have in English, right? Our hands are tied. We want to help, but our hands are tied. We feel like that we're chained. I felt very much that way, especially this week with the Iraq missions. There were so many conversations, phone calls, texts, emails regarding the Iraq missions. But obviously, there's not much that I can do or even that we can do. We feel like our hands are chained. Paul and Silas, their response was they were going to worship. And as they lifted worship to Jesus, that's when the chains came down. And it wasn't just their chains. It was everyone's chains. It was the people's chains that were around them. And I feel like God gives us this image, and it's such a timely word that worship is what set them free. And for us, some of us this morning, this is a good word for us. Maybe it's not Iraq missions. Maybe it's some other situation that's happening in your life. That worship would be what sets us free. Now, we're watching this video clip, Andy Dufresne, and we understand, you know, this is how he got free, right? We understand, you know, a rock hammer, 20 years, chipping away at the wall, digging a tunnel, putting a poster over it to cover it for 20 years. Then when the time came and he went through the tunnel, and then he hit the rock and the sewage line, 500 yards coming through and into freedom. And we understand that. That makes sense. It makes sense. But we totally understand that's how it did. It's a logical progression. But what about this, about worship? Why does worship set us free? How does worship set us free of our chains? How does worship set us free in the midst of the Iraq situation or whatever situation it is that we're dealing with this morning? Why is it that worship sets us free? Unfortunately, I don't have the answer to that, but Pastor Evangeline does, and so she's going to come up and she's going to share it. Let's give her a hand. First sermon ever. Father, bless Evangeline and give her anointing. Fill her with the double portion that we would receive this word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, guys. So I just wanted to ask you guys, in stressful or, like, dangerous situations, what do you guys usually do? You could throw out some answers. I'm sorry? Well, what do you guys do when there's, like, a stressful or dangerous situation you're facing? Peace? Oh, eat. Oh, yeah, eat. Some of us eat a lot. Does anyone else do anything? I'm sorry? Oh, yeah, call up a friend. One more? Yes, go ahead. You verbally cry out. And so these are all like really great answers, things that I think I would personally do too. But in these stressful situations, I think a lot of times the last thing we would do is to think of worshiping or praising God, right, in the midst of like a dangerous situation. And so a lot of times the last thing is that's on our mind to worship, but then the other thing is that we don't feel like it. We just want to go and follow our flesh and what we want to do. But I want to talk about the power of praise today and how when we respond to God in praise, something significant happens in the spiritual realm. And breakthroughs start happening in our lives and the walls come tumbling down. And sometimes situations, I want to note that it might not necessarily happen in the way that we want it to, or it looks like situations aren't like really changing. But then when we do choose to worship, when we do choose to praise God, there's something about our inner man, our inner woman, like something is strengthened. And we are armed with the presence of God to fight on. We're given a vision of God to see things the way he does. And just like a few weeks ago when PD preached on the passage of Elisha and his servant and how there was this whole army of men trying to capture them, they were freaked out. But then when the servant's eyes were open and he saw a vast army of angels that were like surrounding those people who were going to capture them, his perspective began to change because his eyes were open to see the angelic armies. God was fighting for them. So that situation might not necessarily have changed, that there were still men like hunched in the corner trying to capture them. But then there was this perspective change that there was something bigger going on. There was an angelic activity going on that God was fighting for them. So in the Old Testament, God put the worshipers at the forefront of the army. And usually, we as worshipers, we're called upon to do the same thing, that we carry this weapon of worship And it's the declaration of the truth that's our weapon as the forefront of the army. So I want to dig in a little bit into that and lead us into a story in the Old Testament. So can we open up our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20? 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So this is a story about how a group of singers, they helped defend a country that was under siege. And they were the ones who led the army into that. So what happened was, it was in the time of King Jehoshaphat, and he's a king that was a few generations after the reign of King David and King Solomon. And word came to him that there was a vast army. There was an alliance between Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. And they were this huge army that they wanted to fight against Judah. And King Jehoshaphat was freaked out because they were no match. They were tiny. And so he couldn't do anything but cry out to God for help. And as he was crying out to God for help, the Spirit of God came upon this prophet named Jehaziel. And he began to say, hey guys, like, don't freak out. Don't be worried. Don't be discouraged. Because this is what God says. The battle is not yours. It's God's. The battle is not yours. It's God's. And so King Jehoshaphat, this is how he responded and led the people to respond. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, let's go to verses 18 to 19. So Jehoshaphat, let's read this together. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. So what did the king do? He bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah, they followed suit. And in the priests, they sang with a very, very loud voice. And so we read on later on that after consulting the people, King Jehoshaphat, he decided who was going to be at the front of the army and lead everybody into this warfare. And he didn't choose the strongest man or the fiercest warrior or like a brave heart or anything. He chose the singers, and he put them at the front of the army. And him doing this was a significant act of faith, saying to God, you're in charge, you're taking full reign. And it's a significant act that this faith that brought him into this act of worship. So this is how he instructed the singers how to praise God, and let's see what happens here. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So like I said before, putting the singers at the forefront of the army was an act of faith. And as soon as they opened their mouths to sing praises, the Lord God himself set ambushes. The Lord God himself fought for them. And you know what happened? The men turned on each other. They started destroying one another. And before the army of Judah knew it, there were just dead bodies all over. When they climbed up to the hill that overlooking the battlefield, that's all they saw, dead bodies. Not one man escaped. Isn't that amazing? All they did, they didn't raise their arms, they didn't raise their spear or their javelin or their gun or anything. They just opened their mouths and sang praises to God. And that was their weapon. So this is an amazing testimony of the power of praise. And Petey asked before, why was Paul and Silas freed? They were freed because they worshiped. And as they worshiped, the whole prison was just filled with the presence and the glory of God. And that was their weapon. And literally, even though they were in maximum security, their hands were chained, their legs, their feet were chained, those things were loosed and broken. The prison doors flew open. Not because they were trying to chisel away or anything, but because they just opened their mouths and they started declaring the truth of God. And that's what just opened the doors. That's what led to breakthrough. And you know what's crazy? It's not crazy. It's amazing. It's awesome. We have access to this same power that Paul and Silas did, that Jehoshaphat and the army of Judah, that they had this power. They witnessed it. They saw it before their very eyes. And we can grab hold of this very power too. And the call for us is for us to open our mouths to sing and declare God's praises and his truth. And when we worship, it's actually an act of surrender, saying, God, you have full reins of my life. Take control of this situation. Pastor Bill Johnson from Bethel, he said, He said, there is a connection between physical obedience and the spiritual release. There's a connection between the physical obedience and the spiritual release towards victory. So in other words, it's whatever happens in the natural, that we, when we physically obey, in the spiritual realm, there's this, we allow for the spiritual agents to accomplish the will of God. And so there's a call all over scripture for us to worship God, to worship him with gladness, to enter his gates with thanksgiving, to open our mouths and sing praises to him, to adore him. And that's our call as his children, as his believers, to cry out to him in worship, to declare his truth and to declare his praise. And when we even have this physical posture of worship like this or whatever it is, like something shifts in the spiritual realm. There's a spiritual release. There's a breakthrough that happens. There is a spiritual release of like those struggles, those obstacles that are in our midst. There's also a spiritual release of anointing when we obey God. And so that's the call for us to worship. And the enemies in our lives can take form in so many different ways. And those are the things that hinder us from God's plan. Those are the things that hinder us from worshiping God. They're the things that hinder us from receiving God's best and the destiny that he has for our lives. And those things, when we think about for our own lives, it could be like depression. It could take form in anxiety, constant worrying. It could even be thoughts of like suicide or addictions or just being prone to like anger, etc. All those things can take us and hinder us and can be what imprisons us, like imprisons us from like getting to God's destiny. And so those, I want to call us all to stand and to just reflect upon like how are we going to break through out of these situations in our lives. And so I want to call up the worship team and also the prayer team to come forward. And we can all rise. And Pastor Dennis, you can come back as well. So in light of like seeing the prison, the imprisonment of Paul and Silas, and even this vast army that was coming upon Judah, that country, that we would see what the power of praise is. And I want to call us all to this power of praise every day, starting at this moment, starting today, that we would tap into this power that God has given us and called us to, that when we worship, when we choose to declare our praise to him, that there would just be something that happens so powerfully in the spiritual realm. And even if we can't see it with our physical eye, that we would know in our spirit that this is what's taking place. So some of us have like monumental like tasks before us that are like really overwhelming. And some of us are like dealing with different types of worry. And I feel like God really wants to set you free from that worry. Some of us are dealing with anxiety. It's running high. Some of us are dealing with depression, low self-image, even contemplating like suicide. And God wants to release you of that today. And maybe some of us going through, there's a spirit of fear that's driving us in every little single thing that we're doing. And God wants to uproot that spirit of fear and let you encounter his perfect love, because he says in his word, perfect love casts out all fear. You know there's other things that are imprisoning you or are the enemies in your life, and you want God to deliver you. I just want to call you guys to come forward and just ask for God to release you of those things. And that when you take this act of worship, it will be an act of surrender, an act of receiving breakthrough in your life.
So, Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We pray that you would break every chain in the name of Jesus. We pray. this upon the Iraq team. Can we just have the Iraq team come forward at this time? Normally we always pray for the team before they leave. I feel like this morning we need to worship over the team. Just like this passage talks about, worship over the team. Let them worship, release the breakthrough in Jesus' name. And many of us here this morning, we have other issues that we're facing. Let it be the worship to Jesus Christ that brings a breakthrough. We're just gonna worship to this song. The song's literally Break Every Chain. Many of you are familiar with it. This is our prayer, this is our worship, that God is able and that the army of God is rising up. In Jesus' name, let the army of God rise up. Let that army of God rise up and that spirit of victory rise up within us in Jesus' name. Let's just worship to this song, worship over the situations, worship over the Iraq team. As we close out, I'm gonna ask Glenn to pray for the Iraq team, just because he's a seasoned missionary in the Middle East, and I just feel like that in itself is gonna release something. But we're just gonna worship Jesus and let the chains be broken off in the name of Jesus. So we declare in Jesus' name, break every chain. Do it, Lord, in your form and in your power. Thank you.